Welcome all to the Bible study, and we've been talking about the body of Christ and showing scriptures about the contrast between it and Israel, and the way to salvation, and a variety of things. In our last lesson, we talked about how Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he came as the light of the world, but before he came, Israel was a light unto the Gentiles. It says in Scripture in Isaiah, Israel had been a light unto the Gentiles. As Jesus said in John 4, verse 22, salvation is of the Jews. Well, it was at that time. But there came an event, Israel fell. That was all the promises about Israel's rise were and Israel's rulership in the world, which is yet to come, they were all about Israel's rise. Well, Israel fell. And the Lord revealed to Paul, well, first he saved him on the road to Damascus as the chief of sinners, the first one in as a sinner, not a lawkeeper, as a sinner. And the Lord revealed to him doctrine by teachings by which we can be saved today. The Lord came as a minister of the circumcision. That's Israel. That's the descendants of Israel in the covenants. That's not the world in general. That's not us. But the Lord revealed to Paul how people can be saved without Israel just by believing that Christ died for their sins and placing their trust in him for that, for the salvation and the forgiveness that he earned for us on the cross, without any other stipulation, any other conditions, just believing that he did it all and saves us. He wanted to save us. He loves us, so he wanted to save us, so he provided the means by which we could be saved just by trusting that he did it. Trust in him. So, today, with the light of the Gentiles having been moved from the nation of Israel to Paul's preaching, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles. The Lord had revealed directly to Paul, regardless of the similarity to the quote in Isaiah. Let's look at what Israel had been, some of the covenants they had received and the prophecies about them before they fell. So we know what happened when they fell and what we can expect from the body of Christ. It is different. We don't get Israel's promises, and Israel's prophecies don't apply to us. That's, you know, one source of confusion to people that think they have to keep the law. I mean, we're not saying that we shouldn't behave. We should behave. Sources of interpretation. I'm going to quote the scripture right here in just a second to you, Asher. In fact, let's go to it. Isaiah 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. Arise, shine. Now this is God speaking through Isaiah to Israel. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, not everybody that's listening, but thee, Israel, that the prophecy was to, and his glory, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Third verse, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So that's a promise for during Israel's rising, when they were rising. As we had said, they have fallen since then. So new doctrine has to apply, and the Lord provided that revelation after revelation to Paul. But let's go on. Until Israel fell from being God's people, in Acts 7, as we said, they had been a light to the Gentiles, according to Isaiah 40. A couple places it's a similar quote, but I think it's in Isaiah 49 is the one that we're talking about here. They were a light to the Gentiles to be God's salvation through Israel, as you know, let's look at Acts 13. We'll look at Acts 13, verse 47, and it doesn't look like anybody's able to post tonight, so let me just try to open mine up here, and I'm going to put those three verses so you know it's not me just making it up. This is the Word of God, the King James Version here that I'm posting. Okay, what is this? Ed's doing it. Thanks, Ed. Okay, and there's the Isaiah 49, verses 5 through 7, show the place where it said that Israel would be a light unto the Gentiles. But we see that has changed. Well, that's what we're seeing tonight. Let's look in Acts 13, verse 47. The Lord made Paul to be, in other words, he set him as the light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Well, there had been salvation for Gentiles. Gentiles had to... let me just grab it again here. I'll be glad to do that, to send it to you. Oh, I almost put it in the main text. That would have confused everybody. Let me see here. Private message. Thank you all for your indulgence here. There you go. That should get it to you. And regarding Gentile salvation, anybody could come to God. Ever since Moses, you know, when Moses came out of Egypt, he brought a mixed multitude with him. There were some Egyptians that believed God was the God of the God that created the world, that he was the right God and they should do what he said, and they went along with Israel's doctrine. You know, they blessed Israel. They crossed the sea together, on dry land, actually. But there have always been some Gentiles that believed God's doctrine through Israel, and were, you know, Rahab. She sent the spies. She protected the Israel's spies. Sent the police, Jericho police, away and said they went over that way. If you catch them, you know, if you run, you can catch them. So they went off there, and the spies got to return to I think it was Joshua at the time, and they, when they came, she was blessed by, she had this scarlet cord down the wall where her room was, and her, everybody in her house was saved from the destruction of Jericho. So God wasn't lying. He kept his word. So Israel was out, and Paul's preaching was the gospel of salvation. From the time that they fell, and the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. That all happens, if you want to read that whole account, start in Acts 6 and read through Acts 9. And there, you know, there's a lot more you can read. But if you're new to it, I advise following up and believing that God is revealing to mankind today through Paul and Paul's 13 epistles that he wrote. Start at the beginning of those epistles and read through them, and you'll get purified, you'll get the doctrine unmixed up and confusing. It won't be confusing you by mixing in Israel's doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or in Hebrews through Revelation. Mixing that in with our doctrine that Christ gave for all Gentiles, for all people, really, in Romans through Philemon. Start in Romans if you're new to it. So in Acts 13:47, the Lord set Paul as the light of the Gentiles. And following Paul's pattern today, believers are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith. They're baptized, instead of being baptized like Israelites were into water, we are baptized into Christ. And we see that in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that makes sense. Christ is on us if we're in Him. As we are baptized into Christ, He is around us. He is on us. We put on the new man, put off the old man, put on the new. Paul expands on bringing the light of Christ. If we look, let's look in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God who commanded the light, there's the light, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at Him. Read His Word. But after God is done filling up the fullness of the body of Christ, at some time in the future from now, you know, people are still being saved. The body of Christ is still being filled up with believers that believe that Christ died for their sins and that saves them. And, you know, but when it's filled up, well, look at, you know, Romans, I guess we don't need to go there, but Romans 11:25 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they both tell us that the body of Christ will be caught up to heaven with Christ. And it gives, you know, Romans 11:25 gives a little more of the timing of it when it's filled up, and then that Israel's prophecy will again begin to transpire. It'll happen again. It'll be, you'll see the fulfilling of Israel's prophecy starting to happen again. It's on hold now because Israel is not God's people. Hosea 1:9, Israel is not God's people at the moment. They have rejected God's unconditional covenant with them. They won't have anything to do with it, and they broke it because the covenant said, if you... I'm trying to get it straight in my head. This the covenant had a... there were different covenants, but the one that they failed at was to keep all the law that they agreed to. Deuteronomy 6:25, they agreed to keep all the law all the time. And the Lord, I'm trying to think where that one scripture is. I think it's Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. If you keep the commandments and the covenants, then I will make you a kingdom of priests. Well, they haven't done it yet. When the Lord shows them Himself coming down from heaven, that would be Zechariah 12, verse 10. Zechariah 12, 10, if you can show that. At that time, He will pour out on them a spirit, the spirit of grace and of supplications. Israel will be gathered back. God will give them a new spirit. And initially, besides all that, I should say, He will put His spirit within them. And then once again, Israel will be a light to the Gentile nations that are left on earth after the catching up of the body of Christ. And they'll be a light to the nations during Jacob's trouble, Jacob's tribulation. And during the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, too. That's when you'll see Isaiah 60, verse 3, come to pass. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. But there's a gap in Israel's history now that we're in right now. We're not Israel. And we're not. There's nothing of Israel's prophecies is being fulfilled until the fullness of the body the body is filled up. The last person that's going to believe the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, has believed it. And at that point, the body of Christ will be caught up to be with the Lord. and Israel's prophecy will then begin to transpire again. So there you have it. Israel is not now rising. Okay? Israel fell in Acts 7, was blinded and cast away in Acts 28. So between there was a diminishing between Acts 7 when they fell and when they were blinded and cast away in Acts 28. Between those two points, there was a diminishing, a gradual falling off of their ability to even hear and believe the gospel. To the point that after Acts 28, you have to convince them, they have to be convinced that they're a sinner like we are. Well, they think they're Jews because they think they have a special standing with God. So it's very rare that a Jew would throw that away to realize he's a sinner, eligible to be saved by Christ having died for his sins. Well, what about salvation during the fall of Israel? Where did that come in? That's what Romans 11 says, that Paul preaches our salvation today. And that's why today we have to go to Paul's epistles and his sermons to discover how God saves people today. It's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have to go to Paul's epistles to hear about, to understand what our salvation is today. Of course, our salvation comes from God, but it was earned by Christ on the cross. Look what Paul said in his first recorded sermon in Acts 13:39. By him, all that believe are justified from all things. Well, you saw in the posts from those people that were in here before, all the different, many of the verses that say that people in Israel's doctrine had to endure to the end. I mean, it's all over. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13, Hebrews, my mind's drawing a blank, 3 verse 6, I think it is, Hebrews 6 verses 4 to 6, Hebrews 10:29, and you get into 1 Peter 5 and 1 Peter 13, both show that they don't get saved when they believe. That starts their trail. They have to endure to the end, to in the end be saved when Christ returns to blot out their sins. Acts 3:19 says that specifically, that their sins get blotted out when Christ returns. They're not saved yet. That's why they still have to endure to the end. That's why people think they can lose their salvation, but they're not saved yet. That's why they might not end up being saved. We are saved. You know, if you're saved from hell, you're not going to end up in hell. If you end up in hell, you never were saved. And Christ says you are saved if you believe that Christ died for your sins alone. That's the whole basis of your salvation. You're trusting alone in that. There'll be a Q&A, a question and answer time at the end. If you could gather those questions together, I'll be glad to answer each of them after we get through this information I've prepared, and maybe some of the answers will be in there if you could do that. Thank you. So, Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Notice it doesn't say by faith in Jesus Christ or faith toward Jesus Christ. It's not our faith it's talking about. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. If you know grammar, of something is the same as the possessive. It would be, it is, which is Jesus Christ's faith unto all and upon all them that believe. So who does it come to? Up to? It's available to all. By the time of Romans, when Romans was written, it was in Acts 20, two chapters in Acts after Paul had received the temple vision telling him that he would be going to all men when the Lord sends him. He hadn't been sent yet by the time he wrote this, but he was telling what had been revealed to him. It's unto all. It's unto all. Then he goes on to say who it applies to. It's upon all them that believe. If you don't believe that Christ died for your sins, and that settles it, and that means your sins are all paid for, if you don't believe that, the righteousness of God is not upon you. It comes up unto you. It's available to you if you would believe that he died for your sins and that settled it. But it's not upon you unless you believe. So, back to Israel and their glory days before they fell. Israel's glory happened a little bit during David's and Solomon's reign. Back there, you know, when I think it was the Queen of Sheba came from Egypt or Ethiopia to view the wonders of the Israel nation at that time. But still, it was not fully glorious. I mean, they were not the holy nation that the Lord promised to make them. They were not, you know, it was prophesied back in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. And I think it's, yeah, I think he's putting it on the screen now. God promised Israel that they would be a peculiar treasure, a holy nation. Try to fit Israel today into that holy nation part. they legalize abortion and prostitution. It's not a holy nation now. That's not a nation, the nation that God will put there. That's a state of Israel that the United Nations man has put there. But God will eventually draw back his people, make them a holy nation, and actually a whole kingdom of priests. That's why when Jesus came offering them the kingdom, that it was at hand, he had to prepare the people for the priesthood, and to be prepared, they had to be initiated with a washing. That's what John the Baptist was doing, baptizing them to be a kingdom of priests, washing them with water. And God will see it. He'll see and make sure that it happens the way he prophesied and said that it would happen. But that's all after the body of Christ is filled up and is caught up into heaven with Christ. In heaven. Remember, heaven was never promised to Israel or to Jacob or to any of the... they were promised the land and ruling on earth in the land. That's why it's so difficult to understand why people... I mean, for me, it's... How can people think that verses like Romans, 15, verse 10, how can they think that applies to us? It's talking about Gentiles coming to God with his people, with Israel. It's not something that can happen today. I mean, Israel is not a way to God anymore. So, when it says that the Israelites will praise God with his people, that's talking about, that the Gentiles will praise God with his people. That's talking about when it happens after the catching up of the body of Christ, or I think that was written, originally in David's time, and so it was happening then too. There were some people... Ruth, for instance, the great-great-grandmother of David, she was a Gentile that blessed Israel, came to God through Israel, receiving the blessings of the covenant. But at the time when the body of Christ is filled up and caught up to heaven, at that point Israel will be brought back into favor, and they will again be God's people. If you read Hosea 1:9 through 1:11, those three verses, you can see a gap between 9 and 10 that we're in today. There's no scripture written about it, because today's doctrine is all mystery. I mean, it was never told before it was revealed to Paul. It wasn't told in the Old Testament. Hosea 1:9 says that that Israel is, lo, am I, or not God's people, and that God will not be their God. And you go to verse 10, and it says, those who were called not God's people will be God's people. Well, you can tell that hasn't happened yet. They're still not God's people. And that's how God can save people, through his grace, through faith in his grace today. Faith only in his grace. Right now, it is Paul and the doctrine that Christ revealed to Paul for us, the light of us Gentiles, Paul, and really the light of the world, because Romans 2:25, class, you know, I think that was one of the verses that they put up there, but it classes or categorizes Israel as being uncircumcision today, for they failed at believing that prophet that was prophesied that would come like unto Moses. Remember in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, they disbelieved that. They lacked faith. Romans 10:8. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. That's us. That's Gentiles, uncircumcision. So Israel is unholy. They're in an uncircumcised, spiritually uncircumcised state today. For having rejected their Messiah and blasphemed the Holy Ghost when they stoned Stephen and fell in Acts 7. Jesus Christ was that prophet in Deuteronomy, in the law, for Israel to hearken to all the commands that God will put in his mouth. Let's look at those verses in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and verse 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them, and all he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, the few that listened, the little flock that did listen, got the blessings then, and you know, it says that the 12 apostles that believed will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel when that time comes. But the main application of that verse is when Christ returns. Then they will listen. It says in the verse we quoted back in Zechariah 12:10 that they will see him. They will look on him whom they've pierced. Remember that he got pierced on the cross. They will look on him whom they pierced, and will mourn for him instead of mocking him or chiding him. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his firstborn son. They will turn their hearts to the Lord when the Lord causes that to happen, pours out on them a spirit of grace and of supplication. But Israel did not hearken to Jesus Christ when he came the first time, did they? They crucified him. There's only one person that has ever kept all the law without a break, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was all the world that needed God's light, not just Israel. The Jews, the Greeks, the alien Gentiles, they all needed, and just like we do, we need God's light through God's word, which today is being revealed in Paul's writings, Romans through Philemon. In Acts 13, verses 46 to 48, you can see that Paul's ministry mainly involved the Jew first, and also those God-fearing, Jew-blessing Gentiles that were called, often called, not always, but often called Greeks. And it was unto them whom salvation had come during those early years, Acts 9 through Acts 19. It came to those Jews and Greeks to provoke Israel to jealousy. And later on, it was sent to all people. Paul was sent to preach that saving message to all people. There wasn't a change in the message. The message was the same. The content of the gospel was the same. But when it went to all people, it was called the gospel of the grace of God. But you can look in the Bible and find when he was preaching it just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, it's called the gospel of Christ. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel that saves you. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I don't want anyone to believe something just because a parent or a teacher or a pastor or me, anybody, you hear here on Pal Talk or in Facebook, because one of us said it. Don't believe the teacher. Believe the Bible. Let the teacher show you what the Bible says. And for you to believe, you need to believe the Bible. The Bible itself, the verses on the page. And not just snatch a verse out because it looks good, and that's what they were doing earlier in the program. You need to take it in context, considering the verses around it, other verses in the Bible that relate to the same topic, and what they all come together to say. The Bible does not contradict itself, and if you find contradictions in what you're reading that has Bible on the cover, get a Bible that doesn't have contradictions. That's why we use the King James Bible. There are no mistakes. The Lord God promised that he would preserve his word in a pure state. Pure means no impurities. There are no self-contradictions in it, to say the least. There are other tests, but that one alone rules out all the translations except the King James Version. If you want accuracy, you might have to put a little work into reading it, but you can get it. If you don't mind being told stories or lies or being, verses being omitted, then I've got nothing to say to you. If you don't mind untruths, and you're going to trust your eternity to untruths, stick to the King James Version, at least in English, if you're English-speaking people. The King James and the Textus Receptus. And, if you're a Greek speaker, you can gain something from the Textus Receptus, maybe. It's virtually the same almost all of it is just the same. So, look at what God said through Paul talking about Israel. When he was talking in Romans 11, verse 11, he said, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" Well, that's a two-part question there. Have they stumbled? Yes. The Bible says in Romans 9, 32 and 33 that they stumbled at the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, who is identified as Jesus Christ. But did they stumble that they had to fall? No, they could have caught themselves after they crucified the Lord Jesus. They could have realized that we've crucified our Messiah and not gone on and fallen by committing their unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost and speaking against the Holy Ghost. But they didn't avoid that fall, but rather... And the Bible goes on in verse 11, Romans 11, 11. It says, through their fall, salvation is come to unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And notice, it doesn't say salvation is come unto all the Gentiles through their fall. It has by now, yes. But originally, it tells you which Gentiles it came to. The ones in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's the Greeks in the synagogues that had their, they were exposed. The apostate Jews were exposed to these Gentiles that blessed Israel and the believing Jews week after week. So it provoked them. And some of them it provoked to jealousy and unto salvation. You can read that in Acts 18. What is it? 6, verse 6, 5, 6, or 7, in through there. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, became a believer in Paul's doctrine that Christ died for his sins. And he left Judaism, left the synagogue, went to the building built hard against the synagogue where Paul's meeting was meeting. So you've got two things there in that verse, the stumbling and the falling. Israel stumbled when they crucified the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, Jesus Christ. And let's look at those verses in Romans 9. I think you posted them already. But Romans 9, 32 and 33. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. In other words, how did some Gentiles please God, but others, but the Jews didn't? Because they didn't seek the righteousness of God by faith. But as it were, by the works of the law. They tried to be as good as God, as righteous as God, by their own doing. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it's written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever, it's talking to those in Sion now, I lay in Sion, whosoever in Sion, it doesn't say that, but that's the target audience, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. That means Israel won't be sorry. Don't make the same mistake of disbelief again. It's chiding, or it's advising Israel where they should have believed and didn't, and then they fell. Paul is not preaching to Israel in Romans. Paul is writing to all that be in Rome. But during Romans 9, 10, and 11, he's writing about why they should believe his gospel instead of Israel's gospel. Israel has fallen. They're out of the picture. And here's why, Romans 9, 10, and 11. But at that time, at the time when Christ was crucified, they stumbled at by crucifying him. But at that time, they didn't have to fall. Israel was not yet committed to the unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And you can read through Acts 1 through Acts 7. All that time, they still had not fallen as a nation. They still were the way for Israel to come to God and for Israel blessers among the Gentiles to come to God. So the verse says, Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. In other words, no. They did not have to fall, but Israel did eventually fall. That's the point. That's why we had to have a different kind of salvation. Maybe I shouldn't say kind of salvation. It's a different pattern of salvation. Welcome to all that have come in. But going on, Israel did eventually fall. And you can read that in the last 10 verses of Acts 7. We're not going to take time to read all that, but he starts off in verse 51 with a stinging... I mean, he's been showing how Israel had stoned their prophets, how they've walked away from God, they'd served Baal, they've done everything wrong and against God all through the centuries. And then he says, in verse 51, I'm trying to... here, you got it posted. Good. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. So, hold on just a minute here. Let me take care of something. I think that did it. All right. That was verse 51, as your fathers did. So they were resisting the Holy Ghost, speaking against the Holy Ghost, and that's what Matthew 12, 32 says is their unforgivable sin. And they go on. Stephen is speaking the very words of the Holy Ghost directly to the high priest of Israel, and to the council, and to the elders, and the scribes, and the people, all gathered together there. They're named in Acts 6, verse 12, I think it is, through 15, and then the first verse of Acts 7. They're all named, the ones that are there, including the high priest of Israel. And they together stone Stephen, Holy Ghost-filled Stephen, while he's speaking the words of the Holy Ghost to him. They did fall and commit the unforgivable sin. So, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Why? For to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Don't misread something into that, that God did not write. God did not, don't get the wrong impression about what God is saying here. God didn't inspire Paul to write that salvation has come to all the Gentiles in Romans 11:11. It came to those that would provoke Israel to jealousy. And you can see them all through Acts 13 through 19 as being the Jews and the Greeks. And that's who the gospel of Christ is sent to. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believes. And to who? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was limited at that time. The sending was. Not the power of the gospel, but the sending. You don't believe someone you haven't heard, and once you hear, then you can believe. Well, Paul hadn't been sent to preach to all people yet, just to the Jews and the Greeks. It's not a matter of a restriction. It's a matter of who he was authorized or commissioned to preach to at that early time. And that's who he wrote to. So that misunderstanding you saw earlier by the people that came in writing all that those things, from Galatians. The Galatians in particular, and the Corinthians, they were Jews straight out of the synagogue. You can read that in all through Romans 13 and 14 for the Galatians. And in Acts chapters 13 and 14, or in Acts chapter 18 about Corinth, the church at Corinth there. So they were Jews, straight out of the synagogue. And some that blessed Israel, believed God was working through his nation of Israel. That would be the Greeks. So I don't want to belabor it too much. But he said in Romans 11:11, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke Israel to jealousy. And you can plainly see in this very passage, Acts 13 and 14, that it was those Gentiles that blessed Israel and came to the synagogue. Those are the Gentiles that salvation came to at that time, before Acts 20. Those God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles called Greeks were the ones who heard the gospel. They were the ones who believed the gospel, and those were the ones who provoked Israel to jealousy, and some were saved. Like we mentioned, Crispus, and it says there was a whole bunch of them that came over and believed Paul's gospel. Some of them rioted in rebellion, though, but some of them believed. And the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ is what they heard and believed. They believed the gospel of God first, that it's God's testimony about who Jesus is. It's the name of Jesus. That's why you hear them talking about that they needed to believe in the name of Jesus. They needed to believe who he really was, his identity, his name. That he was the prophesied one that was all through the Old Testament, the one they were waiting for, the Son of God, Israel's Messiah, that's the word Christ in a different language, and that he rose from the dead. That's all about Jesus Christ. That's not a gospel of salvation for us. That's the only thing that Israel didn't do. They were circumcised, they kept the law, they sold their possessions, all these things they did, except they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, when they came to believe that, that was the only thing left in that whole list of things that they needed to do to be saved. They still needed to endure to the end, though. But that was what made them Israelites, true Israelites, was believing that Jesus was the Christ. So, in Romans 11, a little bit earlier, in verse 5, the Bible calls those Acts 9 through Acts 19 Jews and Greeks that believed, it calls them a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, a remnant is a small part of something, whether you're talking about cloth, a garment, or the nation of Israel. There were remnants through Israel's history. Most of Israel was apostate, like that Acts 7 sermon shows. But there were people that believed all through those periods too. A few people, a small part of Israel. And that's the prophetic remnant. The people that believed in the times of prophecy. When there were prophets, when God had prophesied about Israel, had promised the covenants and things. That's the prophecy part. But there's a mystery side too that had been kept secret. Mystery means secret. It had been kept secret. You know, if you doubt that, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. It had been kept secret, and then God revealed it through Paul. So the things that were secret, by which we're saved today, were not in the Bible before Paul, before Acts 9. So if you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John looking for your salvation, that's all to Israel. That's not to you. You won't find it. You're wasting your time. You do need to study that, but study first what applies to you and how you can be saved in Romans through Philemon, in Paul's epistles. There were many of those Jews that rioted, that did not believe. But there were some that believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah, and some of them went on to believe that Christ had died for their sins, paying for their sins. Many rioted, but some were saved. The majority of those Jews were against what Paul preached. That's why the ones that believed were a remnant. They were a small part. The ones that were against what he said, they were for their apostate religion of Judaism. And Judaism was constantly going off in different directions away from God, anything besides God. You've seen the bumper stickers about anything but this president or that candidate or whatever. Israel seemed that way. I mean, they would go after Baal. I don't have a list of the gods, false gods they went after, but Asherah, that's our Ishtar that people celebrate on Easter. And they went after Rephim, Molech, just to name a few. And Paul even calls the tongues as an idol that they went after. So, you know, they any way they could, they denied their God. They were in the flesh, and the Lord will put His Spirit in them someday, and they will be His people. They will be the light of the Gentiles on earth at that time, after we're caught up to be with the Lord. But they rebelled against believing that Jesus was the Messiah, the risen from the dead Messiah. And that's exactly what, you know, what it was. You know, Paul's manner was to come to the synagogues and preach the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And you can see that in Acts 17, verses 1 to 3. That's what he did. He preached those gospel of God facts about who Jesus is. If Jews would have believed it, that would have completed their list of things they had to believe to be saved. But there's no salvation in just that, in just believing that Jesus was the risen Christ. But you need to believe that. If you don't believe that, you can't believe that He rose to justify you with God. And that's the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for your sins. And not just that He died or that He rose again, but when He died for your sins, and that by receiving that to yourself, you are saved. And the word received is important there because it goes beyond believing. You believe it's a fact, but you receive it to cure your lack, your sinfulness, your condemnation actually is what it's curing. Time after time, Paul would go to a town. He would go to the place where the Jews met on the Sabbath, and he would preach the identity of Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that this Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's all facts about Jesus. And after Paul preached that gospel of God for about 3 weeks, he would separate out the Jews and the Greeks that believed it. They believed that Jesus was their risen Messiah. And he preached to them the gospel of Christ, that new pattern of salvation that had been revealed to him. Not only revealed to him, he was saved by that new pattern. He was the first person saved that way into the body of Christ. He would preach to them the gospel of Christ, that they would be saved by believing that Christ died for their sins. So there were some that got saved in the dispensation of the gospel that we're talking about between Acts 13 and Acts 19, the dispensation of the gospel. And they were the remnant that came into the body of Christ. That was the remnant according to the election or choice of grace. And we're going to close here just reading the verse. Paul referred to it in Romans 11:5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. They chose the gospel that Paul was preaching, that was by the grace of God and nothing else. I mean, we trust in his grace. We don't trust in our own works or in, you know, our genetics, what do you call it, genealogy, that were descended from Abraham or Jacob or anything like that. That's irrelevant, though. We believe that Christ died for our sins and that saves us. Alrighty, it's time for questions.